This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Eight communities in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta got good news last week. More money for more law enforcement positions, thanks to a Department of Justice program. KYUK's Christy Schallenberger has more.
For Akiachuk's tribal police chief, Mark Mata, the grant means an extra set of hands and training. Akiachuk is one of several Alaska Native tribes that received a total of $5 million to hire village and tribal police officers. A recent media report says one in three rural Alaska villages lack any kind of law enforcement. U.S. Attorney General William Barr visited the YK Delta to see firsthand the public safety crisis earlier this year. The Department of Justice released $10 million in emergency funds in June and promised to expand existing programs for Alaska Native tribes. This program funding additional policing in villages started in 2010. Tribes apply for funding and the money lasts 3 years. Mata says Akiachuk's share this year is bigger than the last time it applied.
Because a couple of years back, there's only two officers that covered on the grant.
This time, the village can pay for three full-time positions. Currently, the tribe pays the salaries of four tribal police officers. With this latest funding, Akiachuk will also have enough to pay for Mata, along with a deputy chief and an additional tribal police officer. The money will also pay for more training. TPOs are not required to get any training, and few actually do. A man died in the Akiachuk jail earlier this year. Mata says more training could have prevented it.
That's why this grant is really helpful for us, so I could send them training so they become certified.
The other YK Delta villages getting a piece of the $5 million in federal funds are Nabuskiak, Kipnuk, Quinnahock, Makoryuk, Scammon Bay, and Tununuk. In Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
Newtok residents have been waiting for their new village for over 20 years. And finally, this fall, over 100 families will be able to move to their new home. And that's largely due to help from the military. KYUK's Greg Kim asked why the military is involved in relocating a rural Alaska village.
A Black Hawk helicopter full of military officers drops in on Muktavik to check on the progress for the new village. In a single summer, reserve forces will have built a mile of road, a landfill, four houses, and a heavy equipment shop.
That is the military's contribution to our community. And it's huge. It's huge.
Tribal Administrator Andrew John is excited about the program. It's called Innovative Readiness Training, which joins together forces from Army, Air Force, and Navy. IRT Program Manager Morgan Shepherd Vieira says the primary goal is for engineers to practice building in extreme remote conditions. But that's not the only objective.
While we bill ourselves as training, we describe this as a win-win for both military units and then also for our community partners.
The military has estimated their total labor costs at $1.6 million. That's free labor for Newtok and money that they can spend on other parts of the relocation, estimated to cost over $100 million. Denali Commission Project Manager Don Antrobus helps out other villages looking to relocate due to erosion. And he says they're taking notice.
They'll see what's been accomplished out there in Newtok utilizing the IRT labor, you know, and see an opportunity to, you know, repeat the same thing in their communities.
To welcome the visiting officers, Newtok residents perform traditional Yupik dancing. After a few songs, Captain Allison White, the officer in charge at Muktavik, got up. She was handed tehumak, a pair of dance fans. White says she practices every 2 weeks with Newtok residents, and it shows.
And I think getting to know the people that we are actually building this from makes it more personal to us on the project. And some of them actually work over in Muktavik, so we get to work side by side with them as well.
Bosco Charles is one of those Newtok residents working on the new site.
They're hard workers, the IRT guys. They're hard workers, and we're very thankful for them that they're here.
The IRT mission will finish up at the end of August, but the Muktavik project will go on past that, and those still working there will be people like Bosco.
This is for the village of Newtok, where I'm from. I'm helped building it. That's really amazing. Like one of the greatest feelings.
Relocating Newtok residents to Muktavik has taken over 20 years. Bosco wasn't always excited about the move.
I don't know, it didn't seem real.
But with help from the military, he's already seen 13 homes go up. And now it's real. Bosco says he's looking forward to starting over. He calls it a new beginning. In Newtok, I'm Greg Kim.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service confirmed that walrus are again hauling out on a barrier island near the village of Point Lay. It's the earliest walrus haul out since it began happening in 2007. The haulouts are associated with declining sea ice due to climate change. This summer, the Chukchi Sea saw the lowest ice extent on record for July. When ice is low, the walrus come to shore to rest instead. Fish and Wildlife spokesperson Andrea Medaros says a Point Lay resident spotted the walrus and the animals can be heard in the village. Medaros says residents estimated there are several thousand walrus on the island. A government count will happen in September at the earliest. One of the biggest concerns with the haulouts is that walrus are skittish on shore, which can be dangerous for the animals. For example, if they hear a plane, they could stampede. Madaro says Fish and Wildlife, the Eskimo Walrus Commission, and the native village of Point Lay are sending out notices to pilots, mariners, and others in the area to keep a safe distance from the animals. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for news in Yuktun coming up.